I wonder if either of you have any idea as to why a community the size of Murray with a university has taken this long to bring back recycling. We had it for a while and then it went away for, it seems like, several years.
I think recycling in America has gone through a lot of transition because we relied on China. And we sort of had the wrong impression of recycling. Everybody assumed everything you threw in a recycling can was getting recycled. Majority of it was contaminated, was actually being shipped off to China. And a few years ago, China stopped taking all that kind of trash. So it's sort of a new day in recycling in America. We have to get a little more serious, and we have to do it a little differently. Not all products can be recycled right now, and it also has to be rinsed and cleaned. It has to be a little cleaner cycle because if you put dirty recycling materials in, it'll get rejected by the wholesalers and end up in the landfill. So we have to do a better job. So this program will be not as robust as people think. It's going to be, paper and cardboard, empty plastic bottles and jugs, aluminum cans, and steel cans. So dirty trash, coated paper like orange juice containers, other styrofoam, all the other plastics that aren't allowed, and no glass. Dirty cardboard like pizza boxes with crust stuck to them. Those things can't go in the recycling. So we have to do a lot of education on what can go in. But this is the first step to get us the new normal in America, where we have to take a little more serious.
Do you have any data about the impact that 500 households switching to recycling in Murray Callaway County would have on the environment?
500 is about 10% of the households in Murray, and it's a start. And that was the minimum. Republic is our trash service company. When the city approached them, they put a proposal, said if you get a minimum of 500, that's enough to start the program. And they'll order the special cans. They'll be the similar cans we have now, but they'll have a yellow lid. Excuse me, it'll be blue with a yellow lid. And they'll basically, a special truck will take it to Hopkinsville, and that's where there's a recycling facility that can take our trash. But once we're started and we can grow it, that's the goal, is to get the next level. Right now, we can't do any commercial, even small commercial. But hopefully, in the future, as we get stability and we get the market, then we can grow that and try to capture more and more of that stream. Where it might benefit us if a family has two cans right now, they're paying for an extra can because they have a family of four or five. If you use a recycling can, you can cut your normal trash stream down. So you can get rid of your second can and use the recycling can. And the more and more we can load those cans up, the less and less goes to the landfill. That helps the city save money. So this is the first step in a process.
Is there any hope for maybe that expanding to non-Murray County residents in the future if it's successful, or would that be handled by a different company?
Residents of the county have their own, hire their own trash haulers, by and large. The county was contacted, I think initially brought in for conversations with the city, but did not have the interest, maybe financially good, did not have the interest in it. So the best thing we could hope for within the city of Murray, let's say, is that it succeeds slowly but surely, and the county looks at it and says, well, perhaps we should tag along and join in. Perhaps there would be a market for this countywide. But at this point, if my understanding is correct from the city council, the impetus isn't there yet in the county. I want to add, go back to something that Chris has begun to allude to, and he can speak further on this. But the markets for recycled material, whether it's certain types of plastics or glass, as examples, fluctuate greatly, greatly fluctuate. Right now, glass is not at a place where it's feasible for Republic to haul. There's no place to go with it. And so the contract won't include glass, which is terrible, because you can imagine how much glass do we generate in the course of a week, course of a month. And plastic, Chris Chris has done a good bit of research and found some documentaries. The plastics, of course, are numbered on each container. There's a triangle or running arrow, as they call it, 1 through 7. Ones and twos will be the only ones that will be acceptable to pick up by the public. That whole idea of defining different types of plastics was developed by the plastic industry so that they could put the onus back on the customer, the individual recycler, to do something with the plastic, rather than have any kind of legislation would say it's on the plastic industry or on the producer to do something with all the plastic in general. So now it's on us to try and hustle around and figure out what are we going to do with our ones and twos? What do we do with all the rest of it?
Yeah, right now there's really 3 through 7 are not very recyclable. They're a very limited market. So that the average consumer sees those recycling marks and assumes they can all go in the same can. It took the pressure off the plastics industry to solve that problem and sort of puts it on us like it's our fault. And so the cities and municipalities and states sort of take the blame, like, why aren't you recycling all this stuff? And the fact is, most of it's, there's no market. It's not economically viable. And those are things we can change as we take these small steps and start recycling more and more. We can find the market. Transportation is a big part of this. Like glass, for instance, there are certain places glass is in demand, but it's very heavy. And by the time you crush it or chip it and then load up trucks and transport it, you know, 1,000 miles, you've lost all the economic value. So in certain regions of the country, it has value. Here, we don't have a wholesaler yet, and those prices go up and down. Cardboard used to be like $105 a ton recycling. Now it's down to, it was 59. I think now it's down to 39 a ton. But it can go back up. And so when it gets to a point, the city can't afford to truck it out because it's not worth the gas to get it delivered. And that's why we have limited streams we can do right now. The things we're going to collect have value. And if you get like, these things are going to be loose in your container, not bagged, and they get dumped in a facility and they get sorted. So all the number one milk jugs will go in one pile, they'll bale them. And then that has value. You have a whole, 53 foot truck full of baled number one jugs. There are people who want that and they will pay for it. But it's the sorting out process. Every time you have to touch it, of course, it loses value. So these are all steps to get started. The hope is once we help develop those markets, you said earlier about the county, I mean, in a perfect world in the future, if we have enough work between 3-4 counties in Western Kentucky, maybe we can make a recycling center that would take the refuse from this population and find the market and have a big enough facility to sort the different types of plastic and bale it. And then it would be economical to find a market for a whole truck of a particular stream of cardboard, of paper, number one jugs, number two jugs, 10 cans, aluminum cans. That would be a nice goal for the future, but we have to, it would take some communication and cooperation with all the local and investment. But in the long run, unless we throw in the landfill, that's going to save us the cost, not to mention the pollution. And a lot of states are running out of space to dump.
When I hear the two of you talk about markets for glass or for plastic and how depending on what the demand is and in what region it depends on what types of materials can be recycled here, it seems obvious, but frankly, this is more deeply than I have personally ever thought about recycling. And I think a lot of people are in the same position as I am. They believe in recycling, but it's something they've never thought that deeply about. Is just education in general, is this something the Sierra Club really wants to get out this year, is educating people about all these, frankly, very interesting aspects of recycling?
Chris would delight and get you down in the weeds here. He had done an awful lot of work in getting himself up to speed on what is involved. And I think one of the things that we've got to hope for is it's a technology to actually reprocess plastics, for instance, has to catch up. Because right now, and for this foreseeable future, it's touch and go whether reprocessing plastic for reuse is economically feasible as making new stuff from petroleum. It just isn't always. And until it becomes the go-to process over pumping the petroleum out of the ground. And that's why he's going to say the markets fluctuate up and down.
Yeah, it's an education is a big part of it. How we grew up thinking about recycling was sort of a flawed picture, and now we have a clearer picture, and we don't want to discourage people, but we want them to know the facts. And I think the states and the cities and counties have taken a little bit of a bum rap because people assume they just haven't done the job. In fact, it's been a very difficult job. Now, we had China for years. It would take anything that the wholesalers rejected, like in our loads here in Callaway, you know, our trucks would, the reason we only could do ones and twos is originally we started with more plastics and they were contaminated. People didn't clean out their peanut butter jars and the recycling wholesalers were rejecting our loads and throwing them in the landfill. You know, so if they reject a load, you don't get paid for it. So you've just wasted the transportation cost. And so those restrictions aren't from the local governments, it's from the wholesalers. That's who's dictating. And in the past, anything that couldn't be done was too contaminated would just be thrown in barges and go to China. And a lot of that ended up in the landfill or unfortunately dumped in the ocean. And they pick out what they could, but they've stopped doing that now. They realized they were polluting their country and they stopped about 2 years ago and it shook up the whole recycling industry. But it's probably a good thing because now we have to take it a little more serious and the whole approach of a life cycle of goods. I think in the future, there's a group called CCL, Citizens Climate Lobby, that's working. It's bipartisan, Republicans and Democrats working together, trying to set up a program where they can put a fee on the use of carbon. And then all that fee gets pooled and is divided in dividends and given back to the American people. That will encourage, you know, the things that have less carbon will cost less. Citizens will get that dividend back and they can, purchase things that have less carbon. This will help the, you know, if the raw materials cost more, the recycling materials have more value and it will balance out. It's not an easy process to get going, but there's quite a bit of movement now because people are running out of space to dump trash, especially in the bigger metropolitan areas. They have to haul it farther to other states. States are running out of landfill space, and there's a lot of environmental hazard from the landfills. So all these things are like a big circular economy, trying to get it where if you produce it, there's a way to reuse it and not just end up throwing it away.
And in case listeners don't know, before I forget to ask, how can they sign up to be on the recycling list and join it?
I've got two ways, Stacy. They can call the city. It's at 270-762-0380. We'll get them a phone call in, or they can go to the website, which is a simple one, recycling, it's not a website. It will get them to the email, recycling@murrayky.gov.
If you sign up, it's $15 a month, and you get picked up twice a month. It's a 96-gallon cart, sort of like we have now, only it'll have a yellow lid. The materials are loose in there. You don't want to bag them. So you rinse them, clean them, and just fill that container up. Twice a month, they'll pick it up. And it's $15 a month. Like I said, if you're paying for an extra can, you might be able to get rid of that extra can, and that will reduce that cost. When we get enough, that cost could come down. That's the minimum for Republic to have the extra truck and the labor to get this program going. The goal is to get way past 500. And get a larger proportion of the county, and then those costs can come down to save the city money and the users. Really hope if we can get the spirit behind it to try to get the town to take pride in it and try to advance the program and have the best program around and try to grow it and try to get that community spirit where anything that helps the community keep things out of the landfill and pollution and transportation costs, all those things would be a benefit to our community. We hope we can get that spirit with our education program and our posters and our flyers. And we hope to also put out some really nice posters and help the city explain these programs so people understand exactly how to use it. We don't want people to be confused. So that's where the Sierra Club will step in and do everything we can to help the city. Spread the word and make it a process that's easy to understand. If you like this idea, reach out and communicate with your city council members. who are responsible for starting this up, let them know, thanks. And same with like Ron Allbritton and the sanitation people who've got this going. Reach out to those people, let them know we appreciate what they've done, because it's a great start, and hopefully we can really build this into a bigger program. And so we're excited to see where it can take us.